Amen. 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 That definitely stayed in my heart, resonated. I just want you. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Amen. How's everybody doing? Everybody good? Good. Good to see everybody. Good to see family and friends and new faces and old faces. Good to see the children of God. Amen. Amen. I hope you guys are enjoying the series. Amen. Amen. You can bring the music down, son. Bring it down a little more. Yeah. There. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Well, amen then. Amen, amen. So, we are, if you guys are new here, we are actually in our kingdom pillar. Every 3 months we hit a different pillar. So we actually just got out of the relationship pillar. So we are now in the kingdom pillar that talks about Abba's household, his agenda. It talks about self and earth domination, kingdom of God. You can read it all, the kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light. And our other pillars is the church. And then our last pillar is ministry. Amen. So we are in our kingdom pillar. So the series title for our kingdom pillar for September is Metrons and the Fivefold. Now, last week, we actually was an introduction to the Metron and the Fivefold. It was actually part one. So if you have not listened to that message, make sure that you go back and listen to that message. Each message builds upon itself. So the first message was titled what? Let's see if y'all listen. What was the first message title? Metrons. Okay. All right. I'm going to have to throw something in there every now and then to see if you guys have been paying attention. I like to give them pop-up quizzes. Amen. So, today, now, we talked about, first, what a metron is. Who knows what a metron is? A measure of what? Your realm, your measure, the measure of influence that the Father has given unto you, right? So, family, today we are stepping deeper into the series of Metrons and the Fivefold Ministry. So in this series, I started with the children of God, which was last week. And so every week, I'm going to open up the Fivefold Ministry. So this week, today, I'm opening up for you the Metron of the Apostle. I'm opening up the Metron of the Apostle today. Amen. 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 Now, one thing I realized after I did this, I'm going to run out of weeks talking about the Metrons, right? Because we have the apostle, we have the prophet, the pastor, and so we got to talk about the evangelist and the teacher. So what I plan to do is actually do that teaching over into the prophetic culture, the school of the prophetic culture on Thursdays. Amen. Amen. So let's dive a little bit deeper in today. I want to open up for you the role of the apostle. Now, today is very different today, right? Now, I'm going to start off kind of a little bit traditional in my teaching, but I am going to switch up my teaching style today, right, towards the end. So be ready for that, all right? Right, so I'm going to open up to you today the role of the apostle. The first of the fivefold grace gifts that Christ gave to his church. Now, I will tell you this today. I will definitely tell you to this today. By the time that I am done teaching today on the apostle, you will not have no doubt in your mind whatsoever. Zero doubt that an apostle is not only just relevant for the church, but is relevant for your personal life, right? Amen. You can clap to that. You'll also be able to debunk any myth or any teaching that says that apostles are not relevant for today. And you'll be able to have the information that you need and the knowledge in order to debate that if you must. Amen? Amen. So let's get into it. Now, we have already laid a foundation in the previous message, and that foundation was that the Father has assigned to us metrons. Metrons are measures of influence, spheres of assignment. He gives us grace to carry our metron, and that he marks us with his anointing by putting Christ in us. And then he calls us to walk in humility so that we can carry more of our metron without being crushed by the assignment. Amen? Amen. Now, all of these truths are very critical. So we're getting ready to see why the Father has placed apostles in his church and why we, as sons and daughters of God, need the apostolic metron and the apostolic grace in our life. Y'all ready? Y'all all right? Now, I told you it would be nothing. You're not leaving here without one doubt, not one. Amen? So I pray that I was thorough in my teaching. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Father, that you would speak through me, Father. I thank you right now, Father, that all hearts are open, Father, unto the word. And I thank you, Father, that you are working your will, Father, in your people, according, Father, to what you want done, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first thing we're getting ready to talk about is the foundation of the apostle. The foundation of the apostle. Now, we're going to start with Ephesians 2. 19 through 20. And it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, talking to children of God, right? So you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. So citizens are just not enough. Because that would have been good enough to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. But he took it even further. And he says, you're not only just citizens, you're members of my family. You're members of my household. And he said, and it's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Now, he said that you are the household of God, the church, is built on the foundation of the apostle and the prophet. Now, that means, number one, that the apostle is not optional. That's the first thing I want to tell you. It's not an option. They're not extras. They're not a nice addition to a church. Because the church just wants to be a little bit more spiritual. No, apostles are part of the blueprint of Christ. Now, just as no house, right, if we think in natural, and you're building a house, let's just say you're building a house from the ground up, and the architect comes to you, or the surveyor says, comes to you and says, we're getting ready to build you a house, but we're not building it upon concrete. Think about that. We're not building your house upon concrete. We was thinking about sand. We was thinking about dirt, right? But we wasn't thinking about cement. So just as no house naturally cannot be built without a foundation, no church can mature into the full measure of Christ without the apostolic grace at work. Now, The second thing I want you to know is that Christ himself gave the apostle. Christ himself gave the apostle. Now, I'm not going to say anything to you without giving you receipts. So you're not going to walk away from here and say, Dr. Hardy said anything. You're going to say the word said it. And I'm just going to repeat what the word says. Amen. So Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And it says, so Christ himself. I want to make sure you see that part. So Christ himself gave the apostle, the prophets, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, I forgot to tell you this, but I'm going to insert it right now. It's okay. We're in a learning environment. So this is a teaching ministry. Amen. Just putting it out there. This is a teaching ministry. So the thing I want you to notice in Ephesians 4 and 11 is that notice the language. He says Christ himself gave. So this means that apostles are not man-made. Amen. You cannot vote somebody into apostleship. The board cannot come together and vote that they want this person or that person to be an apostle. An apostle, Christ himself gives the apostle. You don't just decide that you want to take the title. Apostles are a gift directly from Jesus Christ himself to the body of Christ. Amen. And what is their purpose? It said, it told us to equip the people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. In other words, the apostolic grace is for the body. It is for us. It is for our assignment. It is for our metron, because each and every one of us has a metron, a sphere of influence. Now, the third thing that we're going to talk about is the need for the apostolic grace today, because some people don't believe that we need them. So we have to address that. So, why do we need the apostolic metron and the grace today? Three reasons, but I'm going to dive deeper into it, but I'm just going to briefly mention it to you right now. Number one, because without the apostle, number one, the church lacks a foundation. Number two, without the apostle, the church becomes very shallow, tossed by every wave of teaching and culture. Number three, without the apostle, the children of God remain immature. They never step fully into their assignment. So apostles are not here to lord over people, as some may think. They are here to raise, keyword raise, sons and daughters of God. They are here to align the church to the kingdom order. Amen. Amen. They're here to activate even your measure of your metron that you carry for your God-given purpose. Amen. Now, let's go into the definition of apostle. The definition of an apostle in the Greek, we're not looking at Merriam-Webster's dictionary, right? We're going to look up the definition in the Greek. The word apostle in the Greek is apostolos, and it means one who is sent with three things. One who is sent with authority. One is sent with, that is a delegate. And one who is an ambassador. Ambassador. I had closed my eyes before I had closed my eyes before I had seen a word. Hallelujah. Amen. So, so an apostle is not self-sent, right? We said the definition of it is one who is sent, one who is sent, keyword sent, with authority, a delegate, an ambassador. So he's not self-sent, but he's sent by Christ himself, and he is sent with a commission. And an apostle is sent with authority, and they are sent with empowerment. Now, the other thing I want you to know, that apostles are never generic. Every apostle has a metron, a measure of influence, a measure, a spear of authority. Now, that metron defines where their grace flows. That metron defines where their authority is actually recognized and where their responsibility lies. Now, let's go to Romans 15:15-16. Now, we kind of went over this last week, but we're going over briefly here today. Paul knew his metron. It says, yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. Now he's letting you know what his metron was, his measure was. He said he gave me this priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So Paul's metron, as we know, was the Gentiles. Peter's metron was the Jews. Each had a measure and a spear. Neither of them tried to claim the other's metrons. So the apostolic metron is always very specific. Now, now that we've looked at the apostolic metron, the spear, the measure assigned by God, but here's the truth. An assignment without empowerment would crush you. And that is why every apostolic metron must carry the apostolic grace. Now remember what we said grace was. Grace is not just kindness or unmerited favor. Grace is divine empowerment. It is the supernatural strength given by Abba himself to fulfill an assignment that you could not carry out in your own strength. An apostle, more than anyone, needs the weighty grace in order to govern, in order to build, and in order to establish order in the house. Amen? Now, let's talk about the unique grace that is upon the apostle. Romans 1 and 5. Paul declares this. He says, through him we receive grace. I'm talking about Abba, Christ. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. Notice the connection. Grace and apostleship. Apostleship cannot exist apart from grace. It is not a career path that you choose when you're in college. Amen. It's not a title that you can claim just because you want to be it. It is a divine enablement given through Christ himself. Grace gives the apostle to build and to be a wise master builder. Grace gives the apostle the strength to endure hardship for the sake of the gospel. Grace gives the apostle the authority to govern regions and churches without being crushed by the responsibility of it. This is why humility is critical. When you acknowledge that your metron is impossible without grace, then the grace flows. When you think you can carry it all on your own, I got this, you end up stepping outside of the flow of empowerment and stepping into pride. And you know what he said about those that are proud. He said that he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, let's talk about the weight of the apostolic grace. Now, one thing I don't want you to do, because I'm going to tell you exactly about the metron of the apostle, I don't want you to romanticize about the grace. Because the apostolic grace is very weighty. It's heavy. It carries a sacrifice. It carries a suffering. It carries an endurance. And Paul catalogs his life as an apostle. So we'll see the weight of the grace right here. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. And here we're just going to let you see that not everybody can carry this unless you got the grace to carry it. Now, this is Paul's catalog of his life. He said, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. He said, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea. That's why I say don't romanticize about it. In danger from false believers. I have labored and I have toiled and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, on top of this now, all the things that he said, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. This is the cost of the apostolic grace. It's not a platform. It's a cross. True apostolic grace will stretch you beyond your comfort zone. It requires endurance. It requires sacrifice. It requires humility. The apostolic grace without humility becomes abuse. But when it's carried in humility, it becomes a fountain of life for the church. Now, let's get into the meat of it And let's talk about the 9 distinguishing marks of the apostolic metron. The 9 distinguishing marks of the apostolic metron. Number 1, pioneering into new territory. Pioneering into new territory. Now, apostles are spiritual pioneers. They carry the grace to go first. The word says first apostles. So they carry the grace to go first. And the reason why that they carry the grace to go first, because they have to break into places where the gospel has not been preached. The reason why they carry the grace to go first, because they have to break into places in order to confront opposition. They have to break into places in order to plant the kingdom in new soil. And so they break spiritual ground. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 13, verses 47 through 49. Acts chapter 13. Verses 47 through 49. You with me? Amen. And it says, "For this is what the Lord has commanded us." Now, this is Paul and Barnabas. It says, Barnabas, either one of you wanted to say it. "This is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you might bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Amen. So the apostolic metron pushes into unreached areas. Now, these unreached areas, they could be geographical, right? A new city, a new region, the nations. But it also can be societal, meaning the 7 mountains. So we can have an apostle breaking ground into the sphere of business. We can have an apostle breaking new ground into government, education, into media. Wherever Christ is not yet acknowledged, the apostles are sent to pioneer that area. So the Father says, this area, this region, this mountain, this sector has not acknowledged Christ. So he raises up an apostle and he sends him out on commission. So the apostolic grace, it breaks spiritual ground so that others can actually walk on it. So without pioneers, the church stalls in familiar places. So the apostolic grace in your life helps you to pioneer too. That's why you might be breaking new ground and territory in your family. That's how you break new ground and new territory in your bloodline, because you say it stops here. The apostolic metron gives you the grace to say it stops here in my bloodline. Without that, you could not have done that on your own. It stops the cycles of addiction. You might be the first person in your family to raise up into wealth. You might be the first person in your family to start a business. You might be the person on your job that's standing for Christ. So where you are the first to bring the kingdom culture into an industry. So when you sit under an apostolic covering, the Spirit stirs you to break new ground where no one else has gone before. Amen. I told you you're going to leave here with no doubt. Number two. Now remember, we're talking about what? Amen. Nine marks of the apostolic metron, because the mind is very mysterious. It'll make you forget even what we're talking about. So you got to bring it back. We're talking about the nine marks of the apostolic metron. So number two. Now we talked about this briefly, but we're going in a little bit deeper. So establishing strong foundations. Now this is important. Now, apostles don't just visit new places. They lay foundation so that the work actually endures. So Paul describes himself as a master or a wise builder. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 11. And it says, once again, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, the apostolic metron, it establishes doctrine, it establishes order, and it establishes structure. They are the ones that ground the church in Christ, the cornerstone. Now, if you know anything about a cornerstone when you're building naturally, that if you don't lay the cornerstone, you can't lay any other of the stones, because all of it is going to be off and is not going to be in alignment. So the teachers in the fivefold ministry, they may explain the truth. And the pastors might nurture the sheep. And we'll get more into depth even into that. The prophets might even release revelation. But the apostles set the foundation stones that aligned everything with Christ. So, what does that mean for you? Without the apostolic foundation, churches drift into error and they drift into immaturity. But with them, they remain strong and immovable. Amen? Amen. Now, number three, fathering sons and daughters into maturity. Fathering sons and daughters into maturity. Now, I just told you that apostles were pioneers and builders, right? But they are also spiritual fathers. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4 and 15, it says, you with me? 1 Corinthians 4 and 15, it says, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, that's a lot of guardians. Do you honestly need 10,000 guardians? But he said, just in case, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, he said, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. So the apostolic metron includes the responsibility of fathering us. raising sons and daughters of God, that means he needs to impart the DNA in Christ into you. The Father, the spiritual Father, is also going to correct us in love, because that's what a spiritual Father does. He also is going to equip the believers in maturity. So we're pastors, shepherds, apostles, father. They don't just care for the sheep. They raise sons and daughters who will themselves become leaders, who will themselves carry the DNA of Christ, who will themselves be reproducers of the work. So the body of Christ does not just need teachers of truth. It needs fathers of faith. The apostolic metron reproduces maturity, not dependency. We don't want immature children that are dependent. We want mature children of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Number four, apostolic travail. Apostolic travail. Meaning, birthing Christ in people. Now, this was funny as I was adding this and studying. I said, you know what, Abba? If anybody understands what women go through in labor, and it's a male, it's apostles. Because that's part of their metron. They travail. So Paul writes in Galatians 4 and 19. He says this, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. He said, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. And that was Galatians 4 and 19. Now, I want you to notice the language. Paul, a man, an apostle, uses maternal imagery. The pains of childbirth. He is describing the mothering dimension of the apostolic grace. The apostolic travail is the labor of birthing spiritual maturity and sons and daughters of God. So apostles don't stop at conversions, but evangelists do. The evangelist stops at conversion. Apostles don't stop at conversion. They labor with you until Christ is fully formed in every single son and daughter of God. So this is not about producing followers of men, but sons and daughters conforming to the image of Christ. So just as a mother carries and nourishes and labors for the birth of a child, the apostle labors in the spirit for the birthing of destinies in their sons and their daughters. Now, this is what apostles mother in sons and daughters. This is the thing that they mother. You can write these four things down, and I'll talk about them even more in depth. Number one, identity. Number two, correction. Number three, formation. And number four, safety. Now let's talk about identity. The apostle nurtures your identity in Christ. Where the enemy is speaking confusion to you, the apostle reminds you of who you are in Christ and who you belong to. Like a mother speaking identity over her children, the apostle declares, you are a son. You are a daughter of God. You are beloved. You are chosen. When it comes to correction, the true mothering does not spoil her kids. The mother corrects in love. So the apostolic correction is not rejection, but it's actually nurturing. So it's not church hurt. It disciples in order to protect your destiny. Hebrews 12:6 says, it's not up there, but it says, the Lord disciplines the one that he loves. So the apostolic grace carries that same heart. When it comes to formation, mothers shape their children's habits. The mom shapes the children's values, the children's outlook. So likewise, the apostle shapes the character in you. They shape your mindset. They break any immaturity that might be in you. And they impart spiritual DNA. Paul says, I became your father. Didn't we just read that through the gospel? But the process of formation carries a mothering nature to it. And it, when it comes to safety, a mother protects. So the apostolic grace provides spiritual safety for you, guardrails against false doctrine, against deception, against being prematurely exposed. Paul warns in Galatians 1 about false gospels, and his mothering instinct rises up. He said, don't drink the poison. He said, stay within the boundaries of the truth, he told the church. Number 5. The apostolic grace carries territorial authority over regions, and it covers. Now, the apostolic grace is often very territorial. Paul recognized his regional sphere. He says in 2 Corinthians 10:13-16, and we read this in the last lesson, it says, we, however, will not boast beyond proper limits. Lower that a little bit. But we'll confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us. A sphere that also includes you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand. 2 Corinthians 10:13-16. It says, our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in regions beyond you. So, the Corinthian believers were actually inside Paul's metron because he said it. He said, a sphere that also includes you. So the Corinthian believers were actually inside of Paul's metron. That meant his apostolic grace flowed to them. And by receiving Paul as an apostle, they were covered. They were activated. They were included in his sphere. So when you honor and receive the apostolic grace, you actually step into a covering that's bigger than yourself. Suddenly, you're not just fighting from your own strength. You're standing inside of a metron of grace that flows from Christ through the apostle into you. So Paul knew his boundaries. He also knew that his authority stretched over regions where the gospel advanced. And the apostolic metron often displaces demonic powers, principalities, and it establishes the kingdom government into territories. So the apostolic metron protects regions. When apostles take their place, strongholds are dismantled and the entire region shifts towards a kingdom culture. Number six, we're getting through them. That was number five. Number five was carrying territorial authority over regions and covering. Number six is expanding the kingdom into unreached areas. Now, the apostolic metron is not static. They expand. The metron expands as faith grows in the sons and the daughters of God. So as our faith grows, the apostolic metron begins to expand. Paul longed not only to serve Corinth, which was his sphere, but he also longed to press into regions beyond Corinth. And he said it, Romans 15, verse 20 through 21. He says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. So the expansion is the DNA of apostleship. So the apostle pushes the kingdom forward into darkness, carrying Christ's lordship into places untouched by the gospel. So the apostolic grace keeps the church from becoming stagnant and insular. It drives us to look outward, to take the gospel further, until Christ is proclaimed where he has not been named. Amen. Number seven. Stay with me if I get interested. Number seven, signs and wonders. Confirming the kingdom. And we'll be coming from 2 Corinthians 12 and 12. Right. 2 Corinthians 12 and 12 says, I persevered in demonstrating among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs, wonders, and miracles. So the apostolic grace often carries the supernatural demonstration of Christ's authority, miracles, healing, deliverance, confirming that the kingdom has come. So the apostolic ministry is not just academic, it is also power-filled. So where the apostolic grace grows, the kingdom is not only preached, but it's demonstrated. Because we're not just interested in preaching a good word, we want the word to be demonstrated. So this means that as you receive the teaching of the apostle, your faith begins not to rest in human wisdom. Your faith begins to rest on the power of the word. Number eight, kingdom alignment, setting the church in order. The apostle got a hard job, y'all. Setting the churches in order. Titus 1 and 5. And it says, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So Paul gives Titus the apostolic instructions. He says, set things in order. The apostolic grace aligns the church with the kingdom structure. It appoints leaders. It corrects disorder. It establishes healthy government. So what that means for us is that the apostolic grace makes us sure in our life. It makes us sure in our family. And it makes sure things are in order and it's not chaotic. Chaos is a sign of misalignment. So where apostolic grace flows, confusion is replaced with the kingdom alignment. I said I had 9. I had 10. So we got 2 more to go, and then I want to kind of switch it up a little bit. Number 9, raising and sending leaders to multiply the work. Raising and sending leaders to multiply the work. So the apostolic metron includes multiplication. Right? The apostle is not interested, not just, put that in there, not just interested in gathering people. They are interested in raising leaders and releasing them. Acts 14 and 23. And it says, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they entrusted them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in every church. The apostles identified, they equipped, they ordained leaders who could shepherd, who could teach, and who could advance the work. So the apostolic grace ensures multiplication. So instead of one man carrying everything, the apostle raises others who share the load and they can extend the work. So what this does, it creates a generational legacy that ensures that the work continues with your children, with the next generation. And the last one, number 10, doctrinal clarity. Meaning guarding the truth. Galatians 1, verse 8 through 9. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. So he said a whole angel can come down from heaven and say that this is what the Father wants to be preached. He said, as we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. So the apostolic grace, it defends the purity of the gospel. The apostles are guardians of the truth. That's why they don't mind debating the word, ensuring that the foundation is not corrupt. So without the apostolic clarity of the word, the church drifts into fads. The church drifts into compromise. The church drips into mixing of the cultures. But the apostolic grace keeps the body anchored in the unchanging gospel of Christ. All right, now this is where I'm going to switch this up. Now, the scriptures say that our brother Jesus, that he gave natural stories to unlock spiritual truths, calling them parables. It actually says in the scriptures that Jesus did not teach without mentioning a parable. So, I'm getting ready to present to you 16 prophetic parables to increase your understanding of the apostle. 16 prophetic parables to increase your understanding of the apostle. You guys ready? All right. Bring up my first slide. Number one, foundational. Now, think about a skyscraper. The part you see, the glass windows, the steel beams, how it's just dazzling. But the most important part is actually the foundation of that skyscraper. But it's buried underground. So if the foundation is crooked, the whole building will actually tilt. That's what apostles do. They dig deep. They pour concrete. They ensure the building stands for generations. So apostles are like engineers of the invisible realm. They labor in unseen places. They labor in prayer. They labor in discipline so that what others see can actually be stable. Without them, the church becomes like the Leaning Tower, beautiful but unstable. The church becomes a tourist attraction instead of a fortress. So some of us want the height of influence without the depth of foundation. But the apostolic metron is what actually secures your ground. So when you honor and receive the apostolic grace, your own metron will not collapse under the weight of your success. Number two, the architectural builder, blueprints. The prophetic parable of the blueprint. Now, apostles are like architects with blueprints. Builders can swing hammers, but sometimes someone has to draw the plan out, right? So the apostolic grace carries heaven's design. Moses on Mount Sinai did not invent the tabernacle. He built it according to the pattern that was shown to him in heaven. So the apostles are like men and women who climb the mountain and they stand in the council of the Lord, and then they come down with the blueprints. They are like those who hold a plumb line. They align all the crooked beams. Where others might say that wall, it looks straight enough, the apostle measures the wall by heaven standards. This is why you need the apostolic grace in your life. Not just so that you can be inspired, but so that your life can actually be aligned to heaven's blueprint. Amen. Now, without it, we might build churches, we might build ministries, we might build businesses that look impressive, but they collapse because they were built by human imagination instead of divine design. Number three, the parable, the prophetic parable of the territorial and pioneering. So apostles are like explorers and pioneers. They cut roads through the wilderness. They lay railways through mountains. They build bridges over rivers so that others can travel with ease. Paul planted churches in hostile environments and in hostile territories. And centuries later, the entire nations can trace the Christian history all the way back to the apostolic footprint. So apostles are gate breakers. When an apostle enters into a city, it's like someone pounding on the iron gates of a fortress until the lock breaks. The unseen principalities tremble because the apostolic authority is not local, it's territorial. They don't just shepherd sheep. They confront the wolves that attack the sheep. They confront the lions and the giants that guard the land. So, children of God, some of you are frustrated because you feel resistance in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family line. And that's because without the apostolic grace, you're trying to pioneer alone. The apostolic metron breaks open territories so that you can build freely. Amen? Number four. Generational and governmental. Now, the apostles are like city planners. Generation governmental, yeah. They don't just build one house. They lay out a whole neighborhood with roads, with schools, with systems that will outlast them. When Paul set elders in place, he was creating a spiritual infrastructure so that the churches would not collapse when he moved on. So the apostolic grace is like a relay runner. Apostles don't just run for themselves, they hand off the baton. They think generationally. They set in order today so that tomorrow won't have to rebuild from scratch. The apostolic fathering is the difference between a spark that dies out in one generation and a torch that burns for centuries. So if you want your children, if you want your spiritual sons and daughters to thrive beyond you, you need the governmental order of the apostolic grace and ensures that your legacy does not end with you. Now, if you want your legacy to end with you, then you don't have to honor the apostolic grace. But if you want your children and your children's children and your children's children to have a firm foundation, then guess what? You got to be under the apostolic covering. Number five, distinct assignments within the apostolic. Thank you, Father. I might have messed up one of these. No, I didn't. Apostles are like specialized surgeons. One might be trained for the heart, and another apostle might be trained on the brain. Both are surgeons. Both are vital, but their assignments are different. So Peter was sent to the Jews. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Both were apostles, but their metrons were unique. So the apostolic grace is like different keys cut for different locks. One opens the doors for the Jewish culture, and another opens the door for the Gentile culture. Another apostle might open a door in the marketplace, and another will open the door in the education. Another might open a door in politics. Apostles, they do not compete, they complete. So don't expect every apostle to look the same. Don't dishonor one either, because they don't minister like other people. Learn to discern the specific flavor of grace that God has given unto that apostle. And when you receive the right key, it will unlock doors in your life. Amen? Number six, endurance and signs, the authentications. My point in doing this was to make sure that not only that I gave you revelation, but I gave you a natural situation to connect to a spiritual truth. In that way, it can actually be seared in your mind, in your conscience, and your spirit more effectively. So apostles are like oak trees. The storms beats them, winds bend them, but they remain. Their roots run deep enough to outlast drought and the flood. Signs and wonders might bloom on the branches, but the endurance proves that the tree is actually real. So the apostolic grace produces both miracles and scars. Miracles and scars. Paul was beaten, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was imprisoned, yet he kept on building. That's what authenticates an apostle. Not just power in the pulpit, but perseverance under pressure. The counterfeit shines for a season, but the true apostle endures for a lifetime. So don't be deceived by charisma with no scars. Don't chase the signs without substance. A true apostle may not be the most flashiest person, but when storms hit, I can bet you you'll find shelter in their shade. Number seven, protective and covering. Yeah. I'm off. It's supposed to be number eight. I ordered them wrong here, but it's number eight, actually. Protective and covering. So apostles are like storm shelters. So when the tornadoes rage and people don't run to open fields when there's a storm. They run underground. They run into reinforced places of safety. So the apostolic grace provides a spiritual shelter from doctrinal storms and demonic winds. The apostle carries the mantle of walls and gates. Isaiah 60 and 18 says, it's not up there, just write it down. Isaiah 60 and 18 says, you will call your wall salvation and your gates praise. So the apostolic authority sets up walls of salvation and gates of praise that keep the people of God safe from invasion. So without the apostolic covering, you might love Jesus, but still be very vulnerable. Because you need to be shielded and fortified and protected. Next is judicial and order bearing. So apostles are like Supreme Court judges. And they're like Supreme Court judges because they interpret the Constitution of heaven. They don't write their own laws. They uphold the laws of the kingdom. In Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council set order over doctrinal disputes. And the apostles function like plumb line judges. They establish what's lawful and unlawful in the spirit by Christ's standards. This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and 34, he says, "The rest I will set in order when I come." So the apostolic grace keeps the church from lawlessness. Healing and restoration or restorative. Healing and restorative. Now, apostles are like trauma surgeons in the ER. They don't just patch up wounds. They stabilize. They heal. They restore broken bodies in order to function correctly. The apostles repair breaches. They restore ruined places. They rebuild desolate generations. Their grace is to mend what seems beyond repair. So the apostolic alignment actually brings a wholeness where fragmentation once reigned in your life. Next, resource and distribution. I think we're getting the picture. Apostles are like supply chain managers in a city. They ensure the resources flow where they need to go the most. In Acts chapter 6, the apostle oversaw the distribution so no one lacked. Apostles' grace is not just spiritual. It ensures the practical needs are ordered so that the body, the whole body, thrives. The apostle is not interested in a few people thriving. The apostle wants all people to thrive. So when you align yourself with the apostolic grace, you don't just grow spiritually. You step into a flow where resources are rightfully stewarded. Number 11. Is it 12? Number 12. Navigation and guiding. So apostles are like GPS satellites. Now, you may have the car. Let's just say that's your gift. You may have the car, which is your gift, and you might even have the fuel in the car, which might symbolize your zeal. But without the navigation system, you're going to end up lost. So the apostle orients you to kingdom coordinates. Paul told the Corinthians, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So the apostolic grace is directional. It charts a straight course towards Jesus Christ, which is the Word. This is why drifting people need apostolic clarity. Your assignment is way too costly for you to to make wrong turns. Amen. Next is warfare and breakthrough. We almost done. Apostles are like military engineers who blow open enemy strongholds so that the army can advance. They don't just fight, they clear the pathway for others. In Acts chapter 16, when Paul cast out the spirit of divination in Philippi, the Bible says that he broke a regional bondage that opened up the city to the gospel. So the apostolic grace, it actually dismantles spiritual blockages. So some of the warfare that you're facing isn't personal. It's territorial. The apostolic covering breaks those gates so that you can walk free. Multiplication and sending. So the apostles are like university deans. Who don't just teach one class. They raise a whole faculty. And then they send out the graduates into every field. Acts 13 shows the apostles lay hands on Barnabas and Saul, sending them into their assignment. So the apostolic grace multiplies labors for the harvest. So we be in there praying, Father, send labors into the harvest. But it's actually the apostolic grace that actually multiplies the labors for the harvest. So you can actually do more under the apostolic sending than you can ever do in isolation. That's why we're not with being rogue. Prophesying from the internet. With no household. We're not for that. That grace is not for isolation. That grace is for your measure of metron. It's for influence. It's for the body of Christ. We only got three left, family. Identity and sonship. So apostles are like midwives in the adoption court. They don't just bring children into a family. They legally establish their identity and their rights. Paul told the Corinthians, "You are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord." So apostles confirm who you are in the kingdom. Without the apostolic affirmation, many live like spiritual illegitimate children. But with it, you know your name, you know where you're from, you know your inheritance, and you know your authority. Amen? Cultural and discipleship. Okay, I see now what I did. I missed the picture, but that's okay. Cultural and discipleship. So, apostles are like farmers, introducing seed into new soil. Not just growing crops. They don't just grow crops. They introduce seed in new soil in order to reshape the agriculture in a whole region. So Paul just didn't plant churches. He shifted the culture. in Ephesus, he turned a city of idol worship into a hub for the word of God. So the apostolic grace creates kingdom culture where darkness once ruled. So when you submit to one of the apostolic discipleship, you don't just get sermons. You actually get a culture change. And the last one, I don't have a picture for it, but write down accountability and integrity. So apostles are like, accountability and integrity. So apostles are like auditors. They ensure the books are balanced and the system is not being corrupted. Peter rebuked Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the Holy Spirit. The apostolic grace protects the purity of the word. So sometimes we don't just need encouragement. Sometimes we need somebody to keep us accountable so that we can finish well. So my last word to you, so we might reveal, is that prophets, yeah, I'm one. So we might reveal the word of the Lord. We'll talk about that later. Pastors, yes, we have a lovely pastor. They may shepherd the sheep well. Teachers, they might instruct in truth. And evangelists, they do what they do. They win the lost. But the apostles, they ensure that the whole house is built to last. Amen. They ensure that the whole house is aligned to heaven. And they ensure that that is passed to the next generation. Amen. 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 So what I had in, what the Father had in mind, because I'm speaking on each fivefold ministers, you know, as I was praying, the Father, how do you want me to lay this out, Father? Especially towards the end in regards to prayer and stuff. He says, so whoever you're talking about, he say he wants that person to pray at the end. So I'm going to have Apostle come up because that's his metron. And I'm going to have him pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Y'all ain't going to leave me up here by myself. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now, Father, for what you have called us to do, Father. We thank you, Father, that you have chosen us, Father, to reveal you in this generation. Father, we thank you for the strength, Father, for the foundation, Father, for every pillar, Father, for every conversation, Father, that you have spoken through us, Father. Father, we thank you that you are molding us and making us, Father, into sons and daughters, oh Father. We thank you right now, Father, for the strength, Father, for impartation, Father, for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding, Father. We thank you for guidance, Father. We thank you for strength, that is, Father. Father, we thank you, Father, for revealing your will to us, Father, that it shall be done, Father, in earth as it is in heaven, Father. We thank you right now, Father, that you have given us the victory, our Father, that we are triumphant, oh, Father. Father, that we hear your voice, Father, And we would not, Father, follow a strange voice. Father, we thank you right now for the apostolic agenda, oh Father, of revealing your Son, Father, revealing his message, oh Father, revealing his intent, Father. Father, we thank you, oh Father, and we vow, Father, as sons and daughters, Father, to conform to the image of your Son. Father, we call you Abba, and we ask, Father, for strength, Father. We ask for awareness, Father. We even ask right now, Father, that this word that was taught, Father, that it would not fall to the ground, Father, but we give it permission right now, Father, to permeate, Father, to penetrate, Father, to overtake our hearts. Father, we want more of you, Father, more of your kingdom, more of your glory, Father. Let the testimony of our soul be, Father, your will be done, Father, your will be done, Father, your ways prevail, Father. We even give you permission right now, Father, make us holy, Father, conform us to the image of your Son, conform us to the image of your household, Father. Conform us to your voice, Father. We want to be sons and daughters, Father, of your kingdom, Father. We ask right now, Father, for light, Father, where there is darkness, Father. We ask right now, Father, for strength, Father, where we are weak, oh Father. We ask right now that you will inform us, Father. Give us instructions and directions, oh Father. We declare right now, Father, that we will not be lost, Father, but we will stand, Father, on the apostolic foundation that you have given us, Father. More of you, Father, less of us, Father. Father, we declare right now, oh Father, that we will be strengthened, Father, to take the land, Father. We will be strengthened, oh Father, to take cities, oh Father. We hear you, Father. We hear you, Father, from heaven speaking to us, Father. Give us the assignment, Father, individually, oh Father. But Abba, we ask right now, Father, that there will be a synergy, a bond, Father. Let us be a family of fire, oh Father. Let us be a family, oh Father, that go after the lost. Father, we want it, Father. We ask right now, oh Father, strengthen every pastor, every prophet, every evangelist, every teacher, every intercessor, every son and daughter, Father, even those who do not know their call or their assignment, Father, even under my voice right now, Father, we impart it right now, Father. We speak to their soul, Father, even in their dreams, Father, they will hear, they will see, they will know, oh Father, for sure, Father, what you have called them to do, oh Father. We ask for strength, Father, and power, Father, to walk into every mountain, oh Father, and take, Father, what belongs to us. You said, Father, that the first shall be last and the last shall be first, Father. So, Father, we declare it right now, Father. Father, that those who have gone before us, oh Father, the demonic, oh Father, the darkness, oh Father, those things that came first, Father, we vow to extinguish it by your light, Father, and we will walk into every mountain, oh Father, carrying your glory. Come on, church, carrying your weight, oh Father, carrying your substance, oh Father. Abba, we want more of you, Father, more visions, Father, more dreams, oh Father, more awareness, Father, more love, Father. We want what you want, Father, and we ask right now, Father, even as I speak, Father, turn up the volume of your voice in their spirit, Father. Turn it up in their spirit, Father. Increase the visions, Father. Increase the gifting, Father. Make them aware of talents that they did not even know that they had, Father. But, Father, we put the seal of the kingdom on it, oh, Father, that it would not be for the world, Father, but it would be for the victory, oh, Father, of your voice, oh, Father. They will hear you, Father. Father, we speak life into them right now, Father, that they are bigger than what they think, oh, Father. Father, that the vision that you have given them, Father, it shall come to pass. Father, we declare it right now, oh, Father, strength, Father. We declare it right now, Father, unity, Father. We declare it right now, Father, oneness, oh, Father. And we declare it right now, Father, humility, Father, that produces a greater grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Before she come, I want to say something. You can come. You can come. You can stand by me while I talk crazy. Hallelujah. Let me see that one. Yeah, let me see that one. As she was speaking, I was torn in between being encouraged and wanting to quit. Who would ask for that? Amen. And so this is the apostolic age. And the reason why it's the apostolic age is because the Father is relaying the foundation. All right. He's relaying the foundation. The church has been in love with Jesus, but not his assignment. All right. The church has been in love with Jesus, but not his ministry. The church has been in love with singing and entertainment, but now the time is that we conform. Won't he do it? No. I know y'all thought that was going to be. Won't he do it? No. Won't he do it? No. He equipped you to do it. Won't he? No. He equipped you to do it. He says, speak. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the storm. Tell the storm to shut up. Jesus did not wake up and greet Abasando for Father. What should I do with this? No, he knew where his voice projected. So we are in the apostolic age right now, where the foundation has to be torn down and rebuilt so that the church can grow. And so the last two things I want to say is, just from that teaching, it confirmed something with me that he had been telling me. One is that he speaks to you according to your assignment. Okay. We got that? If he didn't tell you to run a church, then he ain't talking. If he didn't tell you to pastor, then... If he didn't call you to be a prophet, then he's not talking to you about that. You need to find out what he called you to do so you can understand the conversation. The things he said to Paul, the things he said to Peter, is not what he said to Job. So he speaks to all of us, but it's according to your assignment. This is why you need to understand your call. This is why you need to understand your assignment. This is other reason why I tell you guys, find your tribe. Find your tribe. Don't be on you searching for apostle. You're not an apostle. Find your tribe. If it's business, find businessmen to listen to. You listen to apostles and you ignoring business. He called you to take a mountain and you in somebody else's mountain. This is what she means by order. You hear the order? This is order. This is not your call. If you're not an apostle, don't try to do apostle stuff. If you're not a prophet, don't try to do prophet stuff. If you're not an intercessor, we all intercessors. Okay? But some people are called specifically. You have to understand and know what you're doing. If you're called to do business and take what you do in business and feed the flock. Because even the thing he called you to do, it's not for you. It's not for you. Every grace is for the body. What I look like holding the revelation to myself? What I look like at home studying only to talk to me? You are, say I am a spout. Say I am a spout. Okay, the more he pours into you, you pour into people. And the more you pour into people, he continuously pours into you. When does the pouring stop? When you stop pouring. The pouring stop when you stop pouring. He'll never stop talking. But he needs to speak through you. I'm going to say something. I'm about to sit down. Some of us are backlogged. You still looking for words. He been trying to speak to you. It might just be parenting. Your job is just to raise them kids to be holy, because you got the next apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and they need to be in a healthy environment. And your job is just to make your home healthy. And you might have a dynamic ministry on how to make households healthy. And Lord knows we need it. So you have to find your tribe. Find your tribe. The thing that he's putting in you, that he's telling you to do constantly. Because I want y'all out of my tribe. I want y'all to stay away from what I do. You can't hear God for me. He's not going to talk to you. He's not going to talk to Lisa about pastor. Lisa, I need you to pastor him. He called him to pastor. So as he speaks into him, he pastors. This is how you keep order. A husband is a husband. A wife is a wife. A child is a child. That's order in the house. He's not going to speak to the wife like she's the husband. Well, this is what I want you to tell him to do. Tell him to sit down, shut up, and don't do. He's not going to do that. He's not going to speak to the children. And this is what I want you to tell your parents. Okay? When they get up, I want you to tell them, this is the grocery list from now on. And he's even not speaking to the husband, telling him how to be the helpmate. He's speaking to the wife. And even with that being said, as I throw this mic, okay.